morning, everyone. We're thankful for the hour that we're here, and normally we have some things headed before service. We wanted to get some things together now for us. To be able to start things off, we would like to open up the table of worship for any prayer requests or moments of joy and celebration we'd like to share. We got our gentleman with our microphone, so if you have anything you'd like to raise up for prayer before us or a moment of joy, just go ahead and celebrate that and raise your hand.
Here we go.
I have a joy to share. We celebrated my mother's 95th birthday this week, and we were able to get all the family together, so it was a very joyous time.
All right, celebration. Anyone else today have anything to share? Ron?
So, me and my girls are driving back from...
Real quick, ice cream cone it.
Right okay. Here. Sorry, me and my girls driving back from Birch Run. We had turned south on 53 off of Barnes Road and going about 50, and all of a sudden, bam! I'm like, holy smokes, my car's going back and forth and I'm holding on. I got other kids and their friends in my vehicle. Pull off to the right, stop. My tire passes me at 100 miles an hour across 53. Across this ditch, I'm like, holy smoke, someone's gonna get an accident here. It jumps a ditch, and I'm like, I just got new tires. That was $500. Girls, get the tires. So, and so they jet across 53, which is very busy. It's about 7 o'clock at night. It's dark. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, no one's gonna see them. They don't have reflected vests on. So they run down and get a tire. Well, out of nowhere, this truck pulls up behind Cherokee and Jen. And Taylor's saying, damn it, like in a panic state. Well, I look down on the ground, and there happens to be 2 foot of like a chain, like a snow chain, a thick chain. So I pick it up because they're yelling my name like in a different tone of voice. So I run across the road, and I get over there, and this man, which is shocking, he's like 40. He was good looking. no, not that he was good looking, but he was saying inappropriate things to the girls. So then I'm like, uh-oh. So I wrap the chain around my wrist now, because now I'm thinking I'm gonna have to defend. So he lights up his truck tires, totally dusts me, pelts me with rocks. I don't even get a license plate. Anyways, he takes off. I guess I wasn't as cute as the girls. But anyways, no one got hurt. And yeah, so if you hear a weird noise in your vehicle and all of a sudden you come to a dead stop, it's probably your tire. But everybody was okay.
So there's a little wisdom in there and a little joy and a prayer request for continued safety. But, you know, thank you. We're glad that everything is able to be smiled about this morning and you're here with us today. Anyone else?
Oh. I've got a couple. Just some prayer requests. Dad fell a couple times this week, so if you could send him some prayers for strength again this week or just in general. Good news is the kiddos have loved making the shoeboxes every year, so they asked about it again this year, and we had lots of donations that just came in unsolicited, so that's amazing. So we have enough stuff, I think, to put together about 10 shoeboxes, but I'm just going to throw out there, it costs $9 to ship each box, and the Sunday school teachers, we're going to cover that, and we will, but we were just wondering if there's anybody in their heart would like to throw $9 our way to help get those shoeboxes that the kids are lovingly going to pack today. So they're going to send those on their way. And then the other thing is Christmas program practice starts today during Sunday school. We're going to pack boxes and start Christmas program practice. So make sure that the kids are getting here during Sunday school time, because we need their smiling faces and their lovely voices, and we're going to have a great time.
All right, so prayers for Dad, and we have 9 opportunities to help celebrate the kids' activities downstairs for packing the boxes. Okay, anyone else? No? Do we have any? You know, last week, do we have any announcements? Can you say that? Clipboards for the soup supper, okay. And Linda, you'll be around after service at fellowship if anybody's got any questions or maybe it's new. Okay.
Okay, I have one. I thought you're still doing joys and concerns. Announcements. SPRC is meeting downstairs after church, right after church. Please grab your coffee or whatever and meet us down there. And then there will be a second charge conference here on the 27th, Monday night on the 27th at 6 o'clock. Please, that's probably not in this yet because it was just decided. So please write that down if you need to remember it. Monday night, November 27th, 6 o'clock here, and it's an important one, and please come for that. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'd just like to ask for prayer for the church in Texas after last Sunday.
Yes, and to maybe further go on some things like that. This isn't speaking out of turn, but it is when the church there is in our thoughts and our prayers, it makes us consider ourselves what things we have in place and opportunities for safety. So if you have any ideas or want to be a part of some of those solutions, please contact me or the office, because we are trying to review some policies and procedures to make sure that we're trying to make this sanctuary as safe as it can be. Anyone else? No? Okay. Last week, we didn't get to this because we didn't have time, but what about birthdays and anniversaries? Now, remember, we didn't get to do it last week, so do we have any birthdays that are carrying over from last week as well? So we got 2 weeks of birthdays, last week and this week. Do we have any birthdays that happened last week that are going to be happening this week? We opened up to 2 weeks, and we don't have... Oh, Mary. Now, was it last week that we missed or this week? It was the 7th. I'm not going to ask any more questions, but we certainly hope that the 7th was a great day, and we're thankful for celebrating that with us. Does anybody join last week or this week? Who are reported? Ty? You or our little man? Jack? When was your birthday, Jack? I didn't catch that one. Oh, it was a cake. Yeah, that's kind of how we announced that. How old is Jack now? 3. Excellent. Anybody else? Leonard? Was it last week or this week? What? 91. Has that happened already or is that happening? Tomorrow, 91. All right. Monica is chasing after your mom, but she's still got a lead right now, so 95. Anybody else? Let's go ahead and sing happy birthday then.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
What about anniversaries? Same thing, same kind of tune, but we didn't celebrate last week because of time purposes, but do we have any anniversaries from last week or this week? Bev? Tomorrow. Are you celebrating too, Russ? All right, hey, tomorrow. How many years tomorrow? 46. Wow, that's fantastic. Anybody else celebrating anniversaries? No, let's go ahead and sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
You know, I don't know if you've been there before, but I have a unique perspective being up here. I can see out instead of looking across. I think it's a beautiful thing to celebrate your anniversary with your grandson separating you. All right. No, just kidding. Just playing. It's good to see you guys today. Anything else before we get started? No? Why don't we stand? Well, we're going to hand things over to our chancel choir. We're still getting used to some things. We're really thankful that you're here, and we're thankful for your effort and your sharing of your gifts, and this is an opportunity for us to begin things with you leading the way. Amen. What an opportunity for us to continually gather together as the children of God. Would you please join me for a moment of prayer as we ask for the Holy Spirit's blessing upon our gathering? Almighty God, There are so many things that are coming at us. There are so many things that keep us busy. And Lord, we would just ask that the situations that were before us and the things that are waiting after for us throughout our whole lives in this week, that you can remove them as only you can. That you would honor this time that we gather in your presence because of our faith in you and those that are joining us on the radio today, Lord. That you would give us a peace that passes all understanding and comprehension that only you can give. That we would be invigorated, that we would be motivated to serve you in this world and to proclaim to ourselves and this world that all glory and honor belongs to you. Lord, would you take joy in all the words, the songs, and the prayers that are lifted up today? And in Christ's powerful and matchless name, we seal this prayer, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, as we move, I would ask you to stand if you're able, and we'll sing together, Easter People, Raise Your Voices. And as you're finding your place standing up, if you can, or in the hymnal on page 304, Easter People, Raise Your Voices. You might recall, we're headed into Advent. Dear friends, we are Easter people. We live with a resurrected, eternal, living Christ that has resurrected to save us so we have inheritance to eternal life. It doesn't matter what season on the calendar, we are Easter people. And if you remember that kind of craziness, sometimes we've been known in the summer to sing Joy to the World because we always must be thankful that a Savior was born to us. Easter people, raise your voices. Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats today, we do have our children's time. So if you have a young one that would like to come up or you haven't been here in a while, we set this time aside for our kids and our young ones before they go down to Sunday school for their special time and lesson together for us to gather together. And one of the things that we've been doing is the kids have been making their way up for some of you older kids here. We've been trying to memorize some words from the Bible, haven't we? We've gone through some verses, and we practiced that throughout the week and downstairs, and we thought together that it would be a good idea to put the scripture right here in our service of worship order here, because it allows, remember, after we say it, we try to let the rest of the congregation say it with us, isn't it? So the scripture that we have is from Philippians 4, verse 13, and it says, I can do anything in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. Right? I can do anything in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. Now, we can say that, and we can read it, and we can ask everyone to say that, but you know, sometimes there's some songs that we sing, and sometimes there's things that we do that sometimes we have motions for, right? And sometimes it helps us get into it or helps us remember that, and I was wondering, could we do a few motions together that might help us memorize this scripture? Can we do that? Would you be willing to help me out with that and see how it works? Do you have a few motions you know of already that are good? You were just stretching. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So we like to stretch out. So let's all do that. Let's stretch our hands. Can you do it like this for just a second? We'll stretch our hands out. Okay, it's really important to help us, okay, for this. It says, I can do anything in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. So let's all point to ourselves, right? Let's get our thumbs up. I can do anything. Put your hands up because that means big, wide, anything in Jesus' name. And let's point to Jesus who gives me, right, strength. Show me the muscles. Let me have them. Let me see them. All right? A little extra credit. When you bring them up here, put them back up here. Then go down with it. Yeah. Okay? All right. So it's very important at the end for us to do that, okay? So I'm going to do it one more time so you guys can watch, okay? We're going to do it slow. We're going to say it out loud, and we're going to do the motions, okay? We're going to do, I can do anything in Jesus' name who gives me strength, and then bring it down. Right? Okay. Now we're going to ask the congregation to do that with us, okay? So how about we stand up? Can we stand up? Can we stand up for a second and do that? Now we're going to make sure that they get the motion from us. So let's look out here. Let's look out here, okay? We're going to do it together. Okay. Now remember, we're going to say it nice and slow, and we're going to do the motions, okay? I can do anything in Jesus' name, because he gives me strength. Bring it down. Yeah, that sounds good, right? Can we celebrate with the congregation that they learned it too? Can we do that? All right. So maybe, that might help us. Jack and Claire, we're still here. I know, usually we end on that, don't we? Oh, my goodness. But we're almost done. But for that lesson today, could we have a quick prayer that we can try to help remember some of those motions, right? It makes it fun sometimes, but it also helps us memorize these powerful words to learn just that we can do anything that our minds can possibly comprehend if it's in God's will, because we gain strength in Jesus' name. Can we pray for that today? Let's go ahead and fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our heads. You guys can say after me, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for the power of your wonderful name. Put on our hearts anything that you would have us do. Bless mom and dad and everyone that's gathered here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now before we go anywhere, today is a very special Sunday, isn't it? Well, Miss Erin, I'm going to hand things over to you so you can help us with this next part of our special Sunday.
We have some very special members of our congregation. I'm going to have you kids. Can you guys stand up here, up on top, and face out here? We're going to do a special song.
Special
so
stuff. Everybody's
while they're getting ready, we have some very special members of our congregation. Can you come up here, Claire? Can you help us too? And these special members of our congregation, they are called what, guys? Are they veterans? They are our veterans. So we are wondering if we could ask our veterans to come and join us up here, please. If you guys could just come and stand up here with us. If you're a veteran, I know we have a lot of them. I know some aren't here today, and I know some of them have gone before us, are in heaven watching on us today. But we would like to celebrate our very special friends, our veterans of our congregation today. So if you guys could come up and join us. While they're joining us, guys, I kind of think it's special that our verse talks about doing anything through Jesus, because he gives us strength, right? I think that signing their name up and being willing to give their life for us and their country was a pretty scary thing, don't you think? I think it was pretty scary, and I think it was pretty brave. But I think it goes right along with our verse where it said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Do you think we can ask our veterans, was Jesus with you? Did he give you strength in those times when you were serving? So we want to say a huge thank you to our veterans, and they have a very special song that they would like to sing for you. All right. Are you ready? Okay. Your motions. If you know the motions in the song, sing along.
Yeah. Before you leave, the kids have special, they've worked very hard on these. They talk a lot about their veterans and the people that they're proud of, and they're very, very special everyday heroes right here. So they made you all special cards, so if you would just wait, they'll hand them out to you. And a very big thank you to all of you.
Hey, your flag bearer's leaving without you. Hold on. See, once they get marching, they don't want, you can't tell them to slow down. See, so they're ready to take on the world there. Excited to do that. It's neat to be able to celebrate the work of our little ones here and how they interact with us, and to know that they're so thankful to be a part of the life of this church. And we're thankful for that time they received downstairs that's more focused on them as we continue to share in some time that's focused on us. As they find their seats, we have an opportunity today, as we've had in times past, that we continue to celebrate, and we are giving voice to our stories, our testimony, what makes us us, and how we celebrate our faith in our lives, and we celebrate the faithfulness of the Lord in here. And Russ, your name isn't on the bulletin, so could you tell us a little bit about what you're up here for today?
I would be very happy to. Bruce Sherman has agreed to share his story with us today, but he was not comfortable getting up here in front of it. Bruce, you got to stand up for a minute so everybody knows who we're talking about back here. But Bruce is one of our veterans, and he has a story to tell. And it is my hope that I can do your story justice. I'll try. We're going to begin Bruce's story when he was drafted at age 18 and went to serve in World War II. He was stationed for 1 year in Luzon, near Manila in the Philippines. I got up this morning and had my first cup of coffee, and there's the President of the United States standing on a stage in Manila in the Philippines. Small world. His role in the Army was as a mechanic, quickly rising in the position so that by the age of 19, Bruce was the head of a department that included 50 people under him. That was unheard of at that particular time. It doesn't mean that Bruce did not face real danger. As he told me, he recalled lying on the ground, flat as he could possibly be, to avoid enemy fire and friendly fire ricocheting off the equipment that he was assigned to work on. So we're gonna fast forward from way back then to the year 2009. And after getting out of the Army and returning to Cass City, getting married, having a family, losing his wife and three children, and undergoing major heart surgery in 2002, a procedure that became highly complicated, and that he survived because of extraordinary pioneer procedures of the time, and his knowledge, as he put it, that somebody, and I put a capital S on somebody, that somebody was with him and saw him through it all. And after all this, he met Marion. One day, in a newspaper that Marion subscribed to, He ran across its article entitled Epiphany, 1945, The Gift of the Magi, Manila, Philippines. This was in the year 2009. The article said, "We lived in a large two-story house with high cement walls and a small stable, large enough for a caratella, a horse-drawn carriage, and two horses. About 4 p.m. on Epiphany, January 6, 1945, I was washing and drying my white cotton socks in order to hang them on our mosquito net poles with dreams and hopes that our three wise men, the Magi, would fill them with candies and just maybe a doll. As several of us were darting excitedly in and out of the neighbors' homes, we saw them coming. Several young Japanese soldiers, in single file, loaded with bayonets and large lighted torches. They passed our houses and marched several blocks away. In a few minutes, we saw our neighbors' houses in flames. I never had a chance to hang my stockings that night as we hurried to the caratella. I wanted to take my new shoes and a large doll that I had received for Christmas, but my mother called out, 'Leave all that, we will be back.' We boarded the caratella hurriedly and fled to the rice fields. My parents, my grandparents, aunts, uncles, my sister Wincy, brother Victor, and my two-week-old brother, Buddy, who was born December 23rd, 1944. The rice fields were filled with people fleeing from their burning homes. Through the rice stalks, I saw horizons of smoke and brilliant flames from the burning homes, many still occupied. Etched in my mind's eye is a two-story wooden house with a large balcony facing the rice fields. Trapped in that balcony was a woman with long hair, her hair and back aflame, crying hysterically until she jumped into the red flames of the crumbling house. The miracle of the Magi is that our entire family, including 32 persons, found their way back to our burned-out home to find shelter in our stable. If we kept our heads down to avoid sniper fire, and if we remained covered with debris from the burned house, we avoided shrapnel fragments from the advancing bombardments of the Americans. It was not easy to avoid detection by trying to keep two-year-old Victor and baby Buddy from crying out, but the parallel was obviously noticed. As Joseph and Mary and the infant Jesus sought shelter in a stable in Bethlehem, so we too, the Santos family, sought shelter in a stable in Manila more than 60 years ago. The gift of the Magi came as a gift of life, not taken by the retreating Japanese soldiers, despite the fact that they discovered my grandfather wheezing with asthma outside our hiding place, and not taken by the bombardments of the advancing Americans. The gift of the Magi came in the form of young American soldiers on horseback. Yes, the first cavalry of the United States Army. One young soldier reached into his pocket and gave us the gift of a Hershey bar, which was divided into 32 equal pieces by my grandmother. The gift of the Magi was even sweeter when Manila was liberated on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1945, because God in Christ, the Magi to others, bring gifts of peace and love. John chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. May the gift of remembrance be yours forever." And the letter was signed by this woman's name, but I'm just going to say it was signed by Sally. The author of the piece had signed her complete name, and after reading it, Bruce called her, introduced himself, and explained that he had been stationed in Luzon during the war. That began a whole new relationship that began years before in the midst of the horrors of war, although neither one of them knew at that time that one day they would meet. After their phone conversation, Sally wrote Bruce this letter. And it said, "Dear Bruce, it was good to talk to you of your experience in and near Manila. My father was buried near the big cemetery near your base. It is Cement del Norte, and I have a picture of it. Cemetery of the North, he is still there. The Blair Water Plant was a resort area called Balera across Manila from the monument near your base which is the entrance to a big highway now going north. You would not recognize it today. There are so many cars, taxis, and jeepneys. Big jeeps are weapons carriers made into passenger buses with curtains and painted bright colors. Thank you for your call, and thank you for what you did more than 60 years ago. You could have been the young soldier who gave our family a Hershey bar. He wasn't. Thank you. Thank you. Many thank yous. Thank you for your presence in Manila in World War II and your work to help the Filipinos be safe. May you remember in the gratitude of the Filipino people and forget the bad dreams of war. God's blessings on you and your family. Bruce has since met Sally. I met Sally here in this sanctuary a few years ago. I talked to her on the phone last Sunday night. She came to the United States in 1954, met and married a pastor, lived in Connecticut and Detroit, where her husband served as a pastor. During that time, she and her husband purchased a summer home in the Port Sanilac area, where they moved permanently after his retirement from the ministry. She would have been here this morning, but she had a previous commitment that she could not get out of. Sally is quick to acknowledge that she would not have a life story to tell had it not been for the hundreds or more of American soldiers like Bruce who saved the Filipino people from the atrocities of war. Bruce is also quick to say that he has endured many hardships during his life, but somebody has always been with him, helping him through all these difficult times. At the end of our conversation, Sally asked me if I would do her a favor. I said yes. She asked me, "Would you give Bruce a hug for me?" I'm not going to do that, but Beverly is. She's our lay leader. And I think Bruce would appreciate the hug from her more than me. But two people brought together in an almost unimaginable way, somebody is at work here. What a story they share. Thanks, Bruce, for letting me tell your story.
When we think about the goodness and the provision of the Lord, we need to continue to tell these stories and share them with us. And we are reminded how much our lives can impact people's lives. And thank goodness the message there was the message of being there and providing for generations of people. Would you please join me in a solemn moment as we share the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you to our choir today for their continued ministry and opportunity to share with us how important it is for those two simple words, thank you. We're not just thanking anyone, we're thanking God for every great and perfect thing in our lives, from the big to the small. And in other people's eyes, the big to the small, we always give God the glory and the thanks for all things that he's done. Today, from last week, you know, if you were joining us last week, either over the radio or here in the sanctuary, this was an opportunity for us to share in Scripture in John 4 from last week, but Bobby Frohner had some important things to say, and it seems like it would have been a great intro into what we're looking at today. And there has been, not only with the sharing our stories, but there has been this opportunity for us to remind ourselves we have that opportunity to use our story, our witness, our testimony, our gifts to be able to celebrate how good and faithful God is in our lives. And when we're looking at that opportunity for evangelism and sharing that faith, it becomes that moment of the gift and blessing that we've received through the grace, mercy, and love that Jesus gives us, and a very expensive cost, but one that we weren't charged, but simply to obey with trust in what Jesus has done and our belief in Jesus. We are saved by his power and his power alone. That's not something that we should keep to ourselves. Would you agree that when we figure out and we finally start to understand that pathway of grace, that how Jesus loved us and loves us still, and the way we can't fall out of that love, is not something that we should keep tucked away in our pocket, or a secret that only we share amongst these walls, or maybe in whispered tones when it's safe. Being a Christian is not about playing it safe. It's about taking a risk, just as Jesus risked everything for us. And he was called on it. When we look at the fact that Scripture reminds us in a very certain way that might not bring comfort but truth, we will be persecuted in Jesus' name. That means prepare ourselves, because it won't be easy. It won't be convenient. We will suffer as Jesus did, but it will be for the sake of the kingdom. That suffering will not be more than we can ever handle, because not our own strength, but we can do anything in Jesus' name, because Jesus gives us strength and bring it down. Okay. John 4, we're going to skip around a little bit on here, so this is a little bit lengthy, so I hope I don't read it too fast, but again, as last week was announced, that this is that conversation with Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and to kind of preface this a little bit, because we're skipping a couple of verses, is we're going to focus on the longest, as far as length, recorded conversation for us that Jesus has, this dialogue, right? Usually Jesus gets right to it, but this is the longest in length conversation that we have for us to study in Scripture, and this comes from the Gospel according to John chapter 4. Now, it starts off where I'm going to begin in verse 5. So he, being Jesus, came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon or high sun. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," because his disciples had gone ahead into the city before them to prepare food for the day. Verse 9. The Samaritan woman then responded to Jesus asking for a drink of water by saying, "How is it that you, a Jew and a man, can ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Because as we understand, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. It was an ethnic and racial divide. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that would have asked you for this water, and to know that he can give you living water, would you know the one that asked?" Verse 11 says, the woman then responded, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is very deep. Where do you get this living water you speak of? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and flocks who also drank from it? Jesus said to her in verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never, ever be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of life gushing up and leading to eternal life. In verse 15, the woman then said to Jesus, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to come again and again to draw water from this well. Jesus then told her, go and call your husband and then come back. The woman then answered him, I have no husband. Jesus responded by saying, you are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is true. Verse 19 reads, the woman then said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place that people must worship is in Jerusalem, by him being a Jew and her being a Samaritan. Jesus replied to this, woman, believe me, the hour is coming near when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation is coming from the Jews, but the hour is drawing near. And as it approaches, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in full spirit and full truth. The woman then said to him, I know that the Messiah, the one they call Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us, and he will answer all these questions and explain them to us. Jesus responds to this by saying, I am he. Yes, the one that you are speaking of. Just then his disciples came back to where they were, and they were a bit taken back that he was sitting there speaking to a woman in the middle of the day, a Samaritan woman, no less. But no one questioned Jesus. They didn't ask what the woman wanted or why are they speaking together. But then they witnessed the woman that came there at the wells, that she left her water jar there, and then she went back into the city. She said to her people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? When they heard this, they left the city and were on their way to come meet him. Now, before I get into the message, let me skip down a little bit to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done, she said to them. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked Jesus to stay with them, and he did so for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And after the 2 days were up, the rest of the city said to this woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, but for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Woo, can you believe we're still going to give a message after this? That was a bit of a long one, wasn't it? Well, maybe there's a reason why John didn't have so much detail in some of his other stories, but here we have this. And here's this moment for those of you that might have your scripture open or have taken a look or are familiar with the gospel according to John. You know, before four, right, our numbers is three, right? Three comes before four. So naturally, not everything in scripture is chronological. Not everything has to follow exactly how it's here. But I like to look at John as he approaches the gospel according to John approaches it in a different way. And so we have to understand how he approaches it very different from the rest of the gospel accounts. John recalls the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night right before this story of the woman in the well. And I just wanted to highlight this for a moment because we are going to be unpacking a lot of this next week as well, because there's a lot of stuff here. And even if we did for 6 weeks in a row, we still wouldn't get every single thing here that's meant for us. But one of the things we want to look at is that before this happens, The gospel according to John, the author, wants us to understand the difference. Now, on one hand, in chapter 3, we have Nicodemus, okay? We have his name, right? So far, we don't have the woman in the Samaritan woman at the well's name, do we? As a matter of fact, it's recorded, he calls her woman, right? So now, here and understand when we're explaining this, we're talking about culture, we're talking about history, okay? Please don't read anything in between the lines. But here in chapter 3, we have a man of stature. Now, a man and a woman together in this historical context, a man would always have a higher place in society because that is how their society was. So here we have a man in chapter 3. He is named here, right? John wants us to know who this is because he has a position. He's a Pharisee. He's a somebody. He's not just somebody who runs a local business, and I'm not shaming anybody that runs a local business, but he's not just somebody. He has a position. Has a power, has authority, has influence. Nicodemus is named. And for all that power and all that influence, we see that Nicodemus travels at night to see Jesus. Now, he's probably got a place, an office, wouldn't you agree? He could probably serve some great treats to Jesus by meeting him during the day, couldn't he? There was probably some servants in the temple that could probably put on this big elaborate spread for the Savior of this world. But Nicodemus sneaks off at night, and he goes away questioning what Jesus told him. It's interesting in this moment as well, because if we're familiar with the gospel according to John, there's so much symbolism in what John is trying to have us reach for his particular audience then, so we need to filter that now, is so many times the gospel according to John uses seeing, right? Uses vision and transcends vision. When you see something, you see it, you believe it. You can almost transpose those words. Anytime you see, match it with believe, and that's what the gospel according to John is trying to get to us. But in this moment, we can also see a reoccurring theme in John's gospel, is that whenever we see darkness, we see unbelief, and we see evil, and we see this ambition that is selfish. Yet when we see light, right, such as noon was the hour, right, high sun is the hour of this encounter with a Samaritan woman, Nicodemus, for all the things he had going for him, met in the darkness of night. Yet John is very clear on explaining to us, this was in the middle of the day, the sun at its zenith. I say this is important because this is laying the groundwork for what we have today. And there's a moment where I might challenge some of you today. Because there's one thing, and I would ask you again to go over this because we can't read every line again for time purposes. But here's this moment where when we read this story, the Samaritan woman and the Jews and all those things that separate them, here's this encounter where Nicodemus very clearly questions Jesus, right? He goes there because he's got a couple of things he wants to get straight. Now remember, this Samaritan didn't seek out Jesus. She was doing her thing in the middle of the day, and Jesus approached her. Jesus encountered this woman, and so often when we look at this scripture text, we can see one of the obvious things that we celebrate, that Jesus loves even the least of these, right? This is one of those scriptures where we see that Jesus sees the Samaritan woman here, and we know that if he loves the Samaritan woman that's not easy to love, that if he loves this bottom feeder or these outside the society context, the ones on the outsides, the peripherals, that he can love the downtrodden because of this story. My dear friends, I want to have you look at this maybe through, if you're wearing glasses, through contacts, or through maybe a neighbor's lenses. Can we take a look at that for just a moment? Because there's a big difference that sometimes you draw a conclusion to. So many times we get caught up on this, Jesus says, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, well, that's true. You've had 5 husbands. You've been married 5 times. And the person you're with now is not your husband. And sometimes we pull off on that express lane and assume that this woman is a woman of the streets. That she might be caught in some type of adulterous relationship or prostitute or any of those moments. doesn't say that. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't say that. And the reason I'm struck by this is because for those of you who are here with the United Methodist Women's event, and we had the opportunity for the woman to share that was prepared to be stoned for her adultery, didn't that explicitly say the woman that was caught in adultery? And then what did Jesus say? Go and sin no more. This is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus has with this woman, and it doesn't say anything about repenting. It doesn't say anything about go forward and no sinning. It doesn't say anything that you're in an adulterous relationship. But sometimes we jump to that. I want to submit to you this. Do you remember, for those of you who maybe aren't married to your high school sweetheart? I exclude you a little bit because, you know, if you married your high school sweetheart, then you have to say one of your first loves, if not your first love, and you had the fairy tale story, right? Congratulations. You know, but for some of us who haven't married a high school sweetheart, we fell in love a couple of times, didn't we? Everything was perfect, and we gave each other those conversation hearts, and it was just meant to be. But that isn't usually what happens, is it? I mean, when we are in grade school, and even right now, some of the young ones we know, and they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you kind of go along with it, you know, and but in reality says you're probably not going to be together, right? I mean, come on, let's be real here. Here's a moment where what in it happens in a culture when women can't do anything to earn a living wage because society is holding them down? And if they're not a woman of the streets, there's really no way for them to provide for each other any type of living if not for a man. Now, there are some things that I said that when I was a younger man, not that I'm ashamed of, but maybe they're promises I didn't really fully understand what I was saying. Maybe you've made some promises like that, or if you've heard about them, maybe you've heard them yourself. But do you suppose that sometimes in our life that we can fall in love a little too soon? That we can sometimes make some decisions because the power of love, right? Huey Lewis. And that sometimes we can fall in love so hard and so fast. Maybe we even know some people. That's us. Do you know some people in your life? Maybe it's even you. That you've had multiple marriages. That's not what this is about. This is about there are even some people today that you could say this scripture about. And wouldn't we most times be able to shake our heads and, folks, I'm just being real with you, that some of those we knew weren't going to work out. You could see the warning signs, right? Sometimes it was unhealthy. But this was not the United States of America where there were rights and there were freedoms and there were women CEOs. This was a moment where perhaps this woman was a widow. Perhaps this was a woman who fell in love too quickly and they didn't work out. Perhaps this was a woman who'd been let down by the promises of a gallant man who promised the world. And when it came time to deliver, left her. Dear friends, I say all these things because it doesn't say in here, and Jesus doesn't accost her for her behavior. He simply says, go get your husband. She says, I don't have one. And he says, even the one you're living with now is not your husband's. And again, this is that moment for culture that we have to think about. And dear friends, this is important. Remember, we're also going to be picking this up next week. But this is important because there's also some legalities here that we need to be aware of. There's some laws. Now, we remember some of those old kind of weird, they don't make sense to us because they're coming through the United States of America, rules and laws and things like that. But you know, if you were widowed and you were a woman and you were childless, there would often be laws in place, right, that would have you marry your husband's brother so that he could make a child with you to preserve the bloodline, to preserve the seed. But you know what? That was only so there is some authorization, right, to process into having a child, But it wasn't really a marriage. It wasn't even really on paper. Now, what happens if this is what we're getting at today? Maybe she was still in a legal arrangement, but in all sense of the word, she wouldn't really be married to this man. Do you see what I'm getting at here, dear friends? That we can't jump to what we want to prepare this in. In this long text, he simply says, go get your husband, and here's that moment. Here's this man who really probably shouldn't be talking to her much anyway. She probably has this reputation. And here's this moment when it's a Jew, no less. But she answers him. This guy's got to be outside his mind. He doesn't know that she's clearly a woman, and I shouldn't be talking to you because you're a Samaritan. Yet she answers him in the light of day. And sometimes when we study this too, again, remember at noon, sometimes we want to provide a narrative that she was there at noon because she was this woman of the streets and nobody wanted to be around her. She was ostracized and things like that. But it doesn't say that. Could she be coming to noon? Because what happens if she just simply didn't want to be around anyone else and get the judgmental stares? It doesn't say that she was kicked out or she was told she had to go. Would you agree that sometimes, let's take a different example, that if you want to go up to Walmart and get something real quick, you better go early in the morning. Would you agree? You don't want to go on a Friday night or the weekend. If I want to get in and out, then I'm going to go at a time when everybody else isn't there. Nobody else was at the well, so she could come get her water in peace. Jacob's well represents a promise of God's provision and God's care. I wonder what it was like as a solitary person to walk up to that well and remind herself of how good God is. Have you ever wanted to be alone with God, that sometimes there was too much noise in the way and we just wanted to get away? Maybe this was her way of honoring God, that this was her time alone at a well, all by herself. Said to Jesus, when Jesus revealed that he knew about her husband's situation, the woman said, "Sir, I see that you're a prophet." Now she knows. In this moment, she could have lied. She could have got indignant. She could have got sad. She said, "Now I know, because you know something about me. You are a prophet." And now she realizes, aha, I got a question for you now. You prove yourself, Jesus, when you revealed yourself that you actually care, that you have something, that you know something about me. Now I'm going to ask you to prove something to me. Our ancestors worshipped on the mountain. And this is important, dear friends, because again, remember the religious practices of the Samaritans and the Jews, right? They would say that you are not chosen of God because you don't worship in Jerusalem. And then they would say, well, this is the God that we serve, and we will worship on the mountain just as our ancestors did. We don't have to cowtail to what you want. This is not a woman. This is not a woman like Nicodemus who questions and scurries away. This is a woman who planted herself here and said, then let's have a discussion with the Savior of this world. Then I want you to clear something up for me. If you are a prophet, I want you to answer me something. Where do we worship? What's the correct answer? How can I be pleasing to God? She's asking Jesus before he reveals himself. Just tell me where I need to be. Tell me where I can go to receive God's favor. Just tell me the truth. And he then explains that soon is coming the time that it won't matter where you worship. This woman at the well may remind us that some that are looked at as marginal, that might be forgotten, that we might look past, best of intentions, but we all have blinders on that we might not see. It's more than that. This is a woman in the middle of the day, challenging, not because she wants it to be disproven, but she's asking Jesus, now that they met, reveal to me the truth. She's after pleasing God. Jesus, where can I get this living water? This thing you speak of, this salvation that you speak of, Where can we get that? And my dear friends, we will pick up from this spot next week as we look at how are we having a power in response. What happens when we let Jesus speak truth into our lives? What happens when we allow ourselves to be transformed? How many lives are changed? Just like in Bruce's story, when we just live our life pleasing to God. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue to think about how we respond to not only the scripture, but of God's goodness and faithfulness that we give of the blessings we've already received, our first fruits, our tithes, which means the best of what we have would be honorable to God. Stand. Praise God from Lord, we come to you today expectant again, expectant that you will provide the needs that are before us, Lord, and you will take joy and glory from the generous and charitable heart. Would you bless the houses from which they came? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this final song, I wanted to throw out some attention to Cherokee there on the computer. It's going to be easy for Tina because we're going to do verses 1, 3, and 5, so just throw it three times. But you're going to have to do some quick clicking, okay? So we're going to try for verse 1, 3, and 5. It's going to be onward, like, and onward, okay? Onward, like, and onward. And if, hey, I'm changing it up, not her, so if there's a mess with the screens, that's on me, okay? Onward, like, and onward. And I would like us to think that we all understand that there's a lot of things that always happen in our life. Can we look at verse 3? And I would ask you, is it truthful for us to sing verse 3 together? Verse 1, 3, and 5.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching hands to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal banner.
dear friends, in this moment when we look at the power of our voices and what happens when we see, what happens when we believe. And though we are called to look into the invitation of the disciples, we all remember that when the disciples were asked by Jesus, they went back and told their family and their friends, come and see. The Samaritan woman told her story and said, come and see. Dear friends, when we reveal how God has been faithful in our life and the Savior of Jesus, invite others to come and see so that they too will come and believe. Could we go encouraged now by this holy work set before us by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who bear us witness that we all are children of God. Amen. Now